Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Welcome from your lounge room or wherever you are, enjoying this beautiful, sunny Bathurst morning. Yes, it will be sunny. It will be sunny. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray as we come around your word that you just take us somewhere this morning. Take us deep into your mystery. Take us on a journey. Lord, help us to understand and to know. Help us to believe and to trust. And Lord, I'm excited about this message. I'm praying that the what is in the scriptures would come alive this morning in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love the topic of this month, Kingdom Breakthrough. I love this idea of something's punching through. You ready for that? Yeah, I know under your mask, you're cheering, yes. You're going, pow, and it's kapow. There's something coming, like breakthrough. Like, we're always looking for change, aren't we? There's change coming. There are situations in your world that you and I would love to shift. You know, we started believing and praying last month, and then one of our staff meetings thought, you know what, let's just all pray together for things in people's lives. There's all kinds of situations that, wouldn't you just love God to move on, to things to shift? So let's believe together. That's why we're doing prayer meetings every Tuesday morning through July. Just quick on Zoom, get together. Let's pray for each other. Let's believe for shifts in our world. I believe in a God of kingdom breakthrough because that's what we see in Jesus. And that's why we've been looking at this incredible passage this morning of how Jesus works. You know, we've been sent with authority from a higher power. You know that? You know, you and I are sent. We're going to explore all that this week. But just to start with, the idea of kingdom. Like, what is a kingdom anyway? We talk about God's kingdom. We read all through the Gospels, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven in Matthew. So what is a kingdom and how do we deal with that? Because when we think kingdom, we probably think something like this. I watched a movie the other night, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. I knew it would come out. My family said, you're going to preach on this, aren't you? And I said, no. I said, it's too old. This movie's from 1995. But it's a great movie. Has anyone seen the movie First Night? Yeah, it's a great movie. It may not be a great movie acting and all that, but the story is fantastic. And here he is, the great James Bond himself, Sean Connery, acting a king. And he has this dream. He's King Arthur. He's Camelot. You know, all the things, the knights, all that. But it gave me such a refreshing taste of what the kingdom of God is all about. And he says this incredible line in there. He says, I'm not going to say it in his beautiful accent. He says, either what we hold to be right and good and true is right and good and true for all mankind under God, or we're just another robber tribe, he says. I love that. If what we hold together is right and true and good for us, is good for everybody. That's kingdom. That's what Jesus came to bring. And what they did in this movie was they tried to have this protectorate, you know, to spread the love of Camelot all through the tribes and all through the warring states so that people could come under their protectorate as Camelot, as guarded by the knights. You see, God's kingdom comes, and he comes with ways and cultures and beings. So it smells like heaven, feels like heaven. It has authority like heaven. So when Jesus comes to the earth, he
brings with him. It's like this aroma that's spread. It's love. It's peace. It's blessing. It's healing. It's forgiveness. It's joy. It's freedom. So wherever Jesus was, it's like this outbreak. It's like this smoke. I don't know, aroma. This sense of life flowing around him. And people were drawn to it because there's a difference. You know, they're trying to live under Roman rule, which is a very different kind of kingdom. Not every kingdom is equal, right? Not every culture is equal. There are good cultures and bad cultures. The only good culture is the culture of heaven. And every other culture on the planet, we have tastes of it, little bits of it. And some good and some bad, right? So we grapple with all that in our current world. You know, what's good, what's bad, is different cultures coming together. I'm telling you, there's one culture, the kingdom culture. Is what we all long for. And where each society reflects that culture, then that's growing and birthing. But anyway, that background is key because as we explore this idea of Jesus coming, he's coming from heaven, bringing a kingdom with him. Come with me to John 8, verse 29. I really love what's on the bottom of these cards. It helps me to preach. Because when I read these passages, it's like, oh, there's so much I could talk on. So much good in these passages. But I love this here. What does each passage say about Jesus? What do these passages mean for the way we might live following Jesus today? And is there anything you need to change this week to follow Jesus? That's on the bottom of every card this year. It's such a good way to read the Bible. So that's how I read this thing this week. What do these passages say about Jesus? Let's go. John 8, 29. He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. John is talking to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. And they're questioning him. Where did you come from? Who gave you this authority? How come you're doing this stuff? And he said, he who sent me is with me. He says, the God who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. He hasn't just said, Jesus, go to planet Earth and fix it up. No, he's coming and God is with him. Look at this. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. That's how Jesus lives his life. He always does the things that please his Father. His actions, the things he says, the things he does. He's always got an ear out to God the Father. Should I go here or go there? Should I do this or do that? It's incredible. And when he does the things that pleases God the Father, he brings down to earth the kingdom of God. So I say here that Jesus simply follows the Father's advice and leading. The next passage I want to look at is John 7, 16. It continues the same theme. Again, Jesus is talking to the Jewish leaders. And Jesus answered them. He says, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. See, the first bit is I always do the things that I'm told to do. Now he says, I always speak the things I'm told to speak. So he does and he speaks the things that the Father sends him to do. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or not, or whether I'm speaking in my own authority. So every word that Jesus says is actually coming straight from heaven. What an incredible way to live. An encourager. Peace bringer, a challenger. But he's always got an ear tuned to his Father. How do I help this person understand the kingdom of God? What do I say now? What do I do now? And then he says in verse 18, the one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. Because he's been asked, well,
Whose authority? You know, how come? It's like if somebody walked in here, a stranger off the street, and grabbed the microphone and started speaking to you. They said, well, who gave you permission to speak here? Like, who gave you the authority to speak here? That's what Jesus was doing. He went into the Jewish temple and grabbed the mic and started speaking. And they're all going, hang on, wait, who let him in? How come he's saying this? And where did he get his teaching from? And why does he teach with such authority? Quick, let's check him out. No one good comes from Galilee, you know. They're all panicking. Who is this guy? But yet the people are listening to him. So all the Jewish leaders are conflicted. What? How do I cope with this? So Jesus says, the one who seeks his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. In other words, he's not here to seek his own glory. How many people in our world seek just their own fame and glory? Jesus didn't. And the key word all through these things, you see that? He came to do the things that God told him to do. He came to speak the things that God told him to speak. And he came to do it not for his own benefit or glory. He came to serve people and love God. Now I started to think about that. Wouldn't that be a great way to live? Wouldn't that be awesome? And Jesus says that I am sent. I'm here on purpose. I'm not here accidentally. I didn't just kind of wake up one morning and think, I got a good message. He says, I'm sent. I've got a purpose. I've got a destiny. I've got a job to do. I've been sent by God. He had this incredible sense of his own destiny and being sent, his sentness. And there it is. That's what these passages say about Jesus, that he was sent. He knew that he was sent, and he brought with him great authority and freedom to people. Tick, number one. Well, number two gets more fun, doesn't it? Because it says, what do these passages mean for the way we might live following Jesus today? So start praying. God, what does that mean then? This is where it gets really exciting. Did you know that you and I have been sent by God into your life to do and to speak God's things and not for your own glory? That's it. That's how to live life. Being sent by God to do and to speak, not for your own glory, but for the blessing of other people and the glory of God. That is the best way to live. How simple is that? So who'd like to be sent this morning? Yeah. Awesome. Three people. You see, as soon as I say sent, I bet some people are fearing, oh no, he means Africa. Oh no, I got to sell my house. Oh no, I've got to do the Zacchaeus thing. Thank you, Sarah. Give everything to the poor. So we go, oh, I don't want to be sent. I just want to live. Let me tell you, you are already sent. I'm going to talk about something that's going to liberate you. You are already sent. Because I think that so many of God's people wonder if they're in the right spot. Am I, how can I do God's will when I'm living here? Or when I'm married to this person, or if I'm not married to this person, or if I've got this kid, or I don't have this kid, or if I've got this job or that job, or don't have a job, or if I'm buying a house or not buying a house, or like we get so confused about, am I in the will of God right now? You don't need to put your hand up. I've wrestled with that many times over the years. Am I in the right spot? Am I in the will of God? We use these terms, terrible terms. Guess what? I'm going to show you some scriptures that are going to help us walk confidently into our world, trusting the sovereignty of God, that we are in the right spot. And if we're not, God will move us on. Look at this, Proverbs 16, verse 9. It says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Ever pondered why you did get that job or didn't get that job? Or you did marry that person or you didn't marry that person? See, we plan all these things, but it's the Lord who determines our steps. What a refreshing idea. Is that God has been guiding your life. He's been determining your path, your steps. You've been planning and you've been doing stuff. And of course, we've got free will and we choose things. But behind the scenes, God's been working all things together for those who love him. He's been orchestrating things and arranging things to get you into the right spot. And it's actually not about being in the right spot. It's about what we do when we're there. Look at this, Acts 17, 26. There's so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about this. It says, from one man, Paul in the middle of a speech. He says, from one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. There you go. You and I are part of that dream. God made one person, Adam, and then Eve, and then that they should inhabit the whole earth, even Bathurst, even Blaney, even Lithgow, Meadow Flat, and wherever you are online in Jindabyne. God spread people intentionally over the whole planet. Why? Well, he also says he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. History, geography, look at this. He has predetermined where and when you're going to live. Oh. So why was I born in 1997? Why was I born in 1972? Why was I born in Bathurst? Because God had determined that that was the time and the place for me. This blows your mind, doesn't it? Insert your own date if you're game and place of birth. Why were you born there? All my parents, you know. No. God behind the scenes. No matter the circumstance of your birth, God has destined you to live here and now. Now, this is confidence inspiring. You can live confidently knowing that you have been sent into your world at your birth date and then into your parents and whatever context you grew up in, your family, your household, your aunt, your uncle, your grandparent, whoever raised you. Then, as you've walked in life, He's been determining your steps. He's been guiding your path all along. It's radical. And you thought you were in control. And there's a mystery, isn't there? In our own will and God's will. I see this because unless we're confident in who we are and where God's placed us, we're going to be forever questioning, well, am I in the right spot? Has God sent me here? Let me tell you, he has sent you where you are now. Doesn't always mean that you'll always be in that space or whatever, but you can look back and thank God right now I'm in this space. So just like God sent Jesus into that world to be born in his space, in his time, 2,000 years ago in Galilee, and he occupied a really tiny little part of the world and didn't really travel too much beyond that. So too has God sent you into your world, into your path, into your date and time and history. So that you can bring the kingdom of God into your context. Don't wait for the perfect to bring the kingdom of God. Don't wait till you're in Africa. You know, we use that term, you know. Don't wait till you're in full-time ministry. What does that mean? It means now you're in full-time ministry. Into your family, into your workplace, into your neighborhood. You have a context. You have a place to live out your life. It's so liberating, and it's here and it's now. So here it is. Speak with confidence. That's what Jesus, he says, I just speak, I just teach what the Father speaks to me. So speak to the world around you with love. That's why I love this life. It starts with love. If you ever wondered how do I share my faith with someone? Just start telling them that they're loved by the creator of the universe. That's all. And because until they got that, then the rest is going to be legalistic or moralistic or something. But you just start telling them and showing them that they're loved by the creator of the universe. They're going to start to feel the love of heaven for their life, the acceptance and the life that's in God. And they're going to get ready. Like, well, what do I do with that love? Well, we're going to include you in God's family, the church. And we're going to help set you free to live life according to your fullness. And we're going to equip you. See, but it starts with being loved. These are the words you can speak. Hey, you know that you're loved by the creator of the universe? Oh, I don't believe in the creator. He loves you anyway, whether you believe in him or not. It doesn't matter if you believe in him. He loves you anyway. He cares for you. He's got a great plan. I'm not religious. Well, it doesn't actually matter. God loves you anyway. Don't get sidetracked. God loves you. God loves you. He cares for you. He's got great plans. He's got great dreams. You're his child. You're his creation. You have a destiny and a purpose. You weren't some accident. You were made in God's image. You weren't inherited from some monkey. You were crafted after the image of God. I don't believe in God, but you were anyway, whether you believe it or not. And you just keep loving, keep speaking. Don't get moralistic on people.
Well, you really should stop doing that thing, you know.
Just love them and draw them into that journey. That's what Jesus does. And then the Zacchaeus says, I've been touched by love, therefore I'm going to change my life and follow you. So speak. Where do you speak? Well, speak just into the world that God sent you already. You know, whether you live with people or you live alone or live with your neighbor, workmates, you have a context, unless you live in a mountain monastery somewhere. Then move. Because Jesus left heaven to come and live, dwell amongst people. As long as you got some people in your world, you're okay. You've been sent. Love them. I love this. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. I reckon this is chocolate. Like, they didn't have chocolate maybe back then. But the sweetest things that they had was honeycomb. And they said gracious words are like honeycomb. Sweet to the soul and health to the body. Maybe that's not chocolate. But anyway, think of something that's really sweet and really nice, but it's good for you. That's what your words are like, of blessing and life. And then do the things that God tells you to do. It's what Jesus did. He just walked around. Lord, should I go here or should I go there? What should I do? Should I rescue that person or heal that person or speak? So you're just living with that sense. And then the whole bit about glory is really important. Jesus continually said, I'm not doing this for my own glory. Now, glory is a funny word in today's life. We don't talk about that. But we might insert that word success or fame or influencer. There's words that put me on a pedestal and somehow I've got something to say. And somehow I'm going to draw people to myself. The world is obsessed by influence, isn't it? It's obsessed by quick fame or likes or following. And I think sometimes we get obsessed with that. Am I significant? We confuse our influence with our significance. Your influence, ability to influence, does not determine your significance. In fact, the more free you are from being an influencer, then the more significant you are in your own mind, because God fills your soul, not other people's opinions about you. John 8:54, Jesus says, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. Jesus could have walked around and been very, very successful and made his own kingdom on earth. He continually refused that. He says, no, I'm not here He could have been the richest man ever. He could have been the most powerful man on the planet. He could have surpassed the glory of Solomon in wealth, in power. But he chose not to, for you and I. He chose to humble himself, take on the nature of a servant. Radically different. Continually shunned the crowds. Continually tried to run away from the crowds. Continually tried to say, don't tell anyone about that miracle. I don't want, it's about my Father's glory. Continually pointing to his Father's glory. That's kingdom breakthrough. When we're free to walk into another person's world, not worrying about our own success or influence, but genuinely getting alongside somebody and loving them and blessing them, building them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. There it is. How easy is that? Have a good view of yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's been times in my life where I'm hoping I don't have neighbors. You know, you've got to have a healthy view of yourself to love a neighbor as yourself. But it's not about being successful, famous. Jesus never went there. This excites me. Live sent. Live sent. Every day of your life, I'm sent into my family, into my marriage, into my friendships, into my workplace. Live sent. Live with a sense of purpose and calling. But it's here and now. It's not when I get a Bible college degree. It's not when I perfect this thing. It's not when I pray more or read more or something more. It's today. The kingdom of God is now. It's not another country, another planet. It's here. And it excites me because all of us can do this. All of us can bring blessing and life into our world and live the way that Jesus lived, bringing the blessing, bringing the kingdom of God here and now. Let's pray for a moment. Hey, Lord Jesus, right now, give us a sense of our sentness. Lord, a sense of purpose in the here and now. Lord, confidence that you've put us and placed us here for a reason. You've given us the place we live, the family, the people that we live with. Lord, it's all in your design, even if it's imperfect. Lord, somehow through imperfection, somehow through human frailty, somehow through our steps, you determine our course. So, Lord, give us confidence in who we are and what we're called to bring. And fuel us to be life bringers, lovers of our world, people who set people free, people who are more concerned about others than ourselves, people who liberate others, and people who deeply passionate about the glory of God on planet Earth, Lord. Just right now in your own heart, just ask the Lord to give you a sense of his sentness, his hand on your life. The confidence that you need in the world that you live in. And the trust that there are circumstances that you want to shift and change. And the Lord will bring you out of those things where there's better places. But he doesn't condemn you for being where you are now. He will just slowly move you on. And there's some people in the room right now, I just sense that you're living with some sense of, I'm not sure if this is where I'm supposed to be right now. There's two things you got to do. One is accept that this is where you are right now and be sent into it right now. And simply pray, Lord, As I serve and love and fulfill the will of God for me here and now, that you will open up doors, change situations for me to take that next step. But you've got work to do here. You've got people to love here. Holy Spirit, come and give us opportunity even today, even tomorrow, just to love the people in our world. and just right now, take a moment to honor Jesus in your heart. Thank him for all that he's done in your life. And if you don't know him, take a moment to invite him into your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to be sent. I want to follow you all the days of my life. And if you need that help online or in the room, just we'd love to chat with you further about how to follow Christ and how to set him first. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.